Once again, we are studying Paul's letter to the Hebrews. Listen to me. First Corinthians. Don't put that in my mind. Howard, your fault. But we're looking at Paul's letter to Corinthians, okay? So, you guys, what we try to do is we're saying, you know, it's left to the Californians because it is so applicable to us where we are. A lot of the same kind of situations and problems that we face. So anyway, here's a church. Paul was the, you know, he was the apostle who laid the groundwork for that church and, you know, got saved through his ministry. And so here he comes back and writes letters to them. Why? Because they got so many problems, so many difficulties. But always remember, whenever you plant a church somewhere, they're very much impacted by the culture and society where they are. I mean, it's like us, you know, we're in California. Well, we sort of, you know, California lifestyle kind of hits us too. And so he writes again, telling them, hey, wait a minute now, this is who you are. Don't forget who you are. This is what it means then to live out who you are. Remember, this is what Christianity is. Christianity isn't just kind of some, you know, here's some religious stuff that we can and cannot do. Yeah, that's often the idea, well, I don't know, let me, you know, religious nut and take all the fun out of my life, you know. I mean, you hear all kinds of stuff, but it's becoming who God calls you to be. That's the beautiful part of it. And God's desire for us is not only our holiness, but wholesomeness. And what a joy that is. So anyway, a lot of problems in this church, difficulties and so forth. Now we're in the 11th chapter, and it's getting to the point where now there's problems where he's addressing and saying, look, I got some real issues here. You guys get together for the Lord's Supper. Here they are. For communion. And he says, do you have any idea what you're doing? And there's all kinds of divisions and problems and struggles. And then out of that, we are blessed with one of the most beautiful descriptions of what the Lord's Supper really means. So let me begin to, let's see, where can I start? We should be looking at section number 2 in your study. So I'm going to pick it up at verse 23. So look in your Bibles, and I'm going to read this here. I'll start with verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread, drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come again, and so forth. Okay, so here we are, and so let's take a good look at this. I think it's so important for us to listen to what Paul is saying. We recognize the problem. Here's an issue over here, and now he's bringing the whole issue of the Lord's Supper into this understanding, and we need to understand this as well. What are we saying when we partake of the Lord's Supper? What does that mean? So let me just kind of pick it up here again, in the second section, purpose of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask this first question up. What historical background does Paul remind the Corinthians Corinthians concerning his insights into the Lord's Supper. What do you find here? Say, I guess I picked up on verse 23. What do you find there?
It says he received it from the Lord.
Received it from the Lord. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? What do you suppose that means? He received it from the Lord.
Revelation knowledge he got from Jesus.
That was a revelation knowledge. Yeah. See, what's interesting about Paul, you know, you kind of look at Paul, you know, it's so easy to try to figure a lot of stuff out, and we come up with all kinds of ideas, and I fall in the same trap as everybody else, I guess. But keep in mind, now when Paul was called by the Lord, you know, you get the story in Acts chapter 9. You know, he's persecuting the Christians. He's out there ranting, even he's going to take care of these turkeys because they're really messing up the whole, you know, whole Jewish faith. Well, Jesus encounters him on the road to Damascus, to the point where, you know, it's like he got knocked off a horse and he's blind and he's, what do I do now, you know? And Jesus actually confronted him and he says, "Why are you persecuting me?" That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, who is he actually killing? Christians. So Jesus is saying, when you're messing around with my family, this is my body, you're persecuting me. Take it very personally. So here's Paul. Now, from that point on, you know, Ananias, you know, lays hands on him, heals him, and so forth. And he's struggling. Now, he spends 3 years in the wilderness. 3 years. You think, what in the world is that guy doing out there? Well, you gotta understand something. I mean, he is totally confused. For him, the whole focus of God's revelation centered on Moses. Just look at that. Moses. Because here's the law and then the prophets. What was the law and the prophets? And somehow it was Moses. God called his people. Moses led them out of the land of Egypt. Blah, blah, blah. Now you begin to read Paul, and suddenly who is he focused on primarily?
Abraham.
Interesting. He suddenly realized, you read Romans, you read Galatians, you'll see his focus is Abraham. You know, Abraham, by faith, you know, it was credited to him for his righteousness. And by Moses came the law, you know, but by Jesus Christ, you know, but still, it was Abraham, because in Abraham the promises were made, and so interesting. He spends 3 years trying to, you know, really letting the Holy Spirit speak to him to a full understanding of Scripture as it's been revealed. You know, what was Scripture for them? It was the Old Testament, right? It was the Old Testament. So anyway, so now he spends that time. Now, you know, on and on he goes. And, you know, he gets instructions, you know, from the other disciples, but somehow the Lord then also reveals to him. So he's making this very, very, very clear. Now, another thing here, the other thing is that on the night in which he was betrayed, it says that here, for receive from the Lord, also that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. Think about that. I mean, the night he was betrayed, the very night when Judas, you know, led him down that path and sold him out, 30 pieces of silver and so forth, that was the very night that he institutes the Lord's Supper. The night of betrayal, the night he was arrested. And as I reflected on that, I said, the supper flowed out of a Passover celebration, first of all, but it was in the midst of Old Testament, midst of persecution, right? In the Old Testament, the Passover flowed out of Pharaoh's, you know, enslavement of a people and so forth. God set them free. So here, the night of Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, also there was this persecution. It was almost like Satan finally is going to zap Jesus Christ and knock him out of the picture, and out of that flows the message of redemption. Powerful stuff. So, let's look at this now. What does the bread represent in the supper? Okay. body of Christ. Now, think about that. The body of Christ. The bread represents the body of Christ. In the Old Testament, okay, now keep in mind now, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, what were they celebrating together in the upper room?
Passover.
And understand something about the Passover. Can someone explain Passover to me? What happened Passover? Go ahead, Dick.
Oh, it was the time that the Jews started a lot of persecution, and the king had decreed it was the killing of the firstborn.
Okay.
And because he was heard that a king was born, and the Jews were told to put do certain things, and one was to put a mark on the cross of the. And then
blood on the doorpost, yes.
Death would pass them by.
Okay.
And then after that, of course, they were able to get out of Egypt.
Right.
So the Passover was the Jewish way of the faith that they had in God leading them through this very terrible time.
Excellent. Now think.
And they passed through successfully.
Think of that word. Isn't that something? Passover. So. Here, the whole story here is in the book of Exodus, and the Jews are enslaved by Pharaoh and the whole thing, and they're and Moses saying, let my people go. I mean, time to get out of there. And Pharaoh says, no way, Jose. We got a good thing going here. We're not letting you go. Well, then that final plague came, that the firstborn. This is what the decree was: the firstborn in the whole land. Firstborn in the whole land. Was going to die, firstborn. Now you think about that. He didn't say just the Egyptians. He said of everybody, firstborn was going to die.
Even the cattle.
Even the cattle, exactly. Even the cattle. Now, what they didn't, so Moses was, God told Moses, now look, make sure that the people take this special lamb. This lamb had to be in their house for 5 days, and it was a special lamb and the whole thing. And you can imagine what happens to a little lamb when you got little kids running around little lambs. I mean, that's kind of special.
Like a pet.
Well, that animal had to die. You had to take the blood of that animal, put it on the lintel or the doorposts of the house. So by faith, if you said, well, that's just a nice fancy talk, I don't believe that stuff. Well, guess whose child died? Firstborn died. But then they also had part of it where they ate the feast. There was a feast around that, and they ate all kinds of stuff. So anyway, using that, from that point on, the Jews have always celebrated the Passover. It always reminded them of how God delivered them. But for us as Christians, we suddenly look at it and say, what a picture. This is what God's point was. It was a picture of what Jesus Christ was actually going to do. And now we look at it and say, who is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? Well, it's Jesus Christ. But his blood has to be put on the doorpost of your life. See? The angel of death is still coming. Judgment still comes. Still comes. The angel of death is still coming. But then when the blood is put on the doorposts, he passes over. Then we can proclaim, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Carl.
A couple of things come to mind. There's a real argument going on between Pharaoh and Moses.
Right.
And all these different things came out in Pharaoh.
10 plagues.
Arguing the issue, it's my will. Right. I don't care how you feel. I don't care about all these other things that are going on. But when they got to this last issue, and death was the state in this thing, that's one thing. But the other thing is, which I think is even more important, is it is an incredible lesson of obedience that the children
exactly
needed
right
to learn. Now, yes, they went on and they violated that later.
That's right.
But at that moment in time, they fully cooperated and
that's
fell
right
into that. Just one last thing. We had a very interesting time, Carol and I, a number of years ago. Her side of the family has got some Jewish people in it. We went out to the valley, and we were involved in a night of celebration over the Passover.
Okay.
And we were just like watchers They knew we were Christians, but they treated us wonderfully well. But it was a fascinating time.
Yes.
They treat this Passover today in a, I guess, a conservative Jewish setting, maybe.
Yes.
Very, very special.
Yes, it is. Sure. It reminds them of who they are. Now, keep that analogy. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, what should that tell us? Who we are. And it tells us the age of death has passed over. And it also tells us that, you know, it isn't because we're such great people. These, you know, Jewish people, they were enslaved. The Israelite was slaves. They were slaves. They could nothing. It was totally by the grace of God. Not by their goodness, it was by His grace that He delivers them. And the same thing is true for us, see. So now with that background, go ahead.
I want to read the book of Ezekiel.
Ezekiel?
Yeah. It gives a lot of information there. How they had the chance to come and refused.
Okay.
And they were punished for it.
Okay. Now, Ezekiel deals now with the exile. Exile. And then this is the Exodus, you know, as far as that is concerned. So there's two different events. You realize that? Yeah. Okay. Now let's just look at this again. So we're trying to see. There's a setting here for the Lord's Supper. Now, when you hear the words, "This is my body." Now, think of it in the context of the Scripture. What does this tell you? What do you remember? In other words, "This is my body." What is Paul reminding us of? Jeff?
Well, you have to remember that in 1 Corinthians 10, he's talking about the children of Israel, and that they ate of one drink, and they ate of one meat, and they ate of the manna that came from heaven, and they drank of the drink that flowed, the rock that flowed, and that was Christ.
Right.
And so he's basically saying that, as far as the body, that we are the body.
Okay.
We are the body, and God, and then Christ said in the Passover, "Do this in remembrance of me."
Excellent.
So we have to continue to remember that we are Christ's body.
Very good. Very good. Now, keep that thought in mind now, because as we think about "this is my body," sometimes we can think in two different tracks. One, we can look specifically at the elements themselves, and they tell us, well, this is the body of Jesus Christ. So we get focused on Jesus. Now, what's interesting, as you understand something about history, you realize that at the time of the Reformation, this became quite an issue. Because when Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, and these guys, they got into this whole thing, it was the Lord's Supper that divided them. Still does. Now, you say, well, what do you mean? Well, think about this. The Roman Catholics take this very seriously when Jesus said, "This is my body." Well, they believe it was called transubstantiation. Substance is transed, or it's changed. So it's the changing of the substance actually turns into the body of Christ. I mean, that's, you know, that's the theology. And there's symbolically, the priest raises the host. The host is raised, and that's what it symbolizes. And then, you know, it's given to you. Usually the priest will give it to you, and often you have a little basket underneath to make sure you don't drop any of the cross, because then you are profaning the body of Christ. Now, Luther comes along and says, no, we can't go that far. But he says it's consubstantiation. So substance is a substance. It's, in other words, Jesus' body is with the elements, with or in, put it that way. And it doesn't actually change, but it's with or in. So, you know, Luther, you know, he wanted to respect that, and that's what he thought too. Then comes Zwingli. Zwingli comes along and he said, no, it's just symbolic. Just symbolic of so and so forth. And but then at the same time, you have to kind of look at it and you say, well, you know, one extreme to the other. It's kind of where you are. But I think Jesus really wants us to take very seriously You know, it's just not looking at symbolism, but he's basically saying, look, I like what Barclay said. He can say it better than I can, so I'll find it in here. Says it very nicely. Listen to this. Imagine that. Yeah, I don't know how that works either.
No, that Barclay would say good things is my point.
Oh.
not better than you.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I got to make sure I'm catching this. You got to mark stuff before you hit vote here. He says, come on.
Memory going?
Such a good time reading it this morning. I thought, oh, I got to share that with the guys. You know? Okay, here it goes. Here it goes. So he talks about the Roman Catholic. He talks about Luther and Zwingli. He says, no, oh, this is what it was. Here it was. He says, follow me on the road of the road to Emmaus. Remember that in Luke chapter 24, Jesus on the road to Emmaus. He says, two of his disciples, you know, and they're with the Lord and so forth. And then Jesus broke the bread, it says. He says that it came past as he sat meat with them, took bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to them. Wasn't that a wonderful to have him, Jesus, present the meal? In the meal, he takes the bread, he breaks it, he blesses it, he gives it to them, and their eyes are opened. They knew him. Now, isn't that great? I mean, this is, it's not so much what happens to the bread. It's, you know him. If you take the bread, you really come to a greater understanding who Jesus is. What has he done? Think about that. And who is he? And then it says, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us? He had a meal with them. Then what did he do? He revealed himself. That was the Lord's Supper. Oh, friend. I love the way he says it. Oh, friend. When you observe the Lord's Supper, he is present. Yes, he is. This is not just a symbol. It means you must discern the body of Christ. You have the bread in your mouth, but do you have Christ in your heart? Do you understand? In other words, there's a discerning. Can you think about it? Well, as you take the communion and you're holding that bread, take time to think about this. This is the body of Christ. Think of it. This is the body of Christ. God in heaven took on flesh. Think about that. And not only that, you know, he was born as a baby and he grew and all these experiences, and in that body he healed people, he blessed people, he taught, and that body was broken on a cross. You know, think on these things. The Son of God, the very deity himself, would come on, you know, sandals and clothes and live among us. And he would do that. The Lord of all would come and be a part of us. And as you take that bread, you realize you're partaking of him. And he now comes and has come to dwell in you. Come to dwell in you. And then as you realize, it's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. The blood has dealt with my sin. Now his body deals with me as a sinner. He wants to live his life through me. And then you think further, not only is that happening, you're also realizing that body now is us. So when we discern the body, we got to make real sure that there's not division among us. What kind of relationship do I have with my brothers and my sisters? And am I growing in the Lord and with each other? You see, works two ways. Go ahead, Mike.
John 6, 35.
Yes.
And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life.
Right.
He who comes to me will never go hungry.
Right.
And he who believes will never be thirsty. And then he goes on in 6, 51. I am the living bread that came from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world.
Isn't that awesome? Powerful stuff, isn't it? And when I think about that, every time I take communion, I always want to be thinking again. I have to remind myself, who this Jesus really is. And how, in your testimony, I appreciate that, all of a sudden the historical Jesus, you said, hey, this guy really planted his feet here on this earth. He left footprints. I mean, you think the reality of this in history, this is who he is. And now we are the body of Christ. And as we take the bread each time, it nourishes us. It nourishes us. It's got to remind you of who not only Jesus is, but where he is now. It has to remind you who you are in Christ Jesus. Fernando.
And the way that I see from the beginning, it was for the people of Israel when the Passover was justice and judgment.
Justice and judgment. You're right.
And then he bring it to Jesus Christ. We think sometimes that when you take the Passover, you take it just to cleanse yourself.
Yeah.
But you have to remain in the body of Christ.
Yes.
And we have to think how much Jesus suffered, how much the early Christians suffered.
Right. What it cost
and at
him.
The end, yes. It's going to be justice and judgment when That's Jesus
right.
comes.
That's right. Now, what's wonderful is our judgment's already taken place. Bob.
Can't help but think of the parallel that the Lord is working here with Howard's testimony this morning.
Yes.
Speaking of his coming off the eyes, Paul, the encounter on the road
right.
involving his eyes,
yes.
and the, as you just pointed out at the supper,
yes.
that the Lord revealed.
We want to see Jesus.
And so the Lord has orchestrated this whole thing this morning.
Isn't that beautiful?
Around the red.
This revealing. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Oh, I think it's awesome.
Just thinking that as we think on who Christ is, as we take the elements, we can also think on what we're called to do in Very Romans 12:1, in view of God's mercy.
Yes.
Think of your body. Consider your body as a living sacrifice,
yes.
holy and pleasing to God.
Exactly.
And that's what we need to live
exactly.
out.
And the beautiful thing is, as we're challenged and encouraged to live as a Christian, the supper reminds us again, but you're not living this in your own strength. Bread nourishes the body. You know, we need the bread, you know, to give us energy and so forth. Well, he's saying, that's why I'm there. That's what I will do. Jim?
I just want to ask why it says that as long as you do this, you claim the death of the Lord until he comes.
Okay.
So there's a focus on the cross. But
right.
then we say, well, no, he died once for all,
right.
for all eternity, with past, present, and future sins.
Right.
So we shouldn't focus on the cross. We should focus on the resurrection.
Okay.
So how do you...
Well, I mean, you got to be careful. You just don't start putting everything in the little segments. What's interesting with those statements here, it says, first of all, do this in remembrance of me, okay? Well, we need to remember that he's the one who delivered us, what it cost him, what it cost God to forgive us of our sins. Don't ever forget that. So we always go back to the cross. That gives us now a perspective. But now, what we have to be able to do, it's like what I've shared with you before, it's rowboat vision. Think of yourself in a rowboat. Which way are you facing? Backwards, right? Okay. Your focus, you remember the cross. But now, where are you going? See? Well, okay, let's take a look at that. He says, do this until he comes. Do this in remembrance of me. That's the past. Until he comes is what? Future. So now you're in the robot and you're moving into the future.
In the present.
And the present is, he's there giving you the energy to do what you need to be doing. Okay? So all three of these things, in fact, it's kind of interesting. I remember when I first came here and I wanted a communion table, you know. I had guys in our church who built them. We had nice big pulpits. Whatever happened to those nice big pulpits, you know? I could hide behind them, but I can't do that anymore. Anyway, so we had this humongous pulpit, but then one of the guys in the church built a communion table, you know, special for me. But he said, well, what you want? Well, a majority of the communion tables, what are the words written in front? In remembrance of me. I said, no, put on there, until he comes. I put him until he comes.
You're a rebel.
I know. Finally found that out, didn't you?
Oh, no. I just recognized him over and over again.
Over and over again, okay. But, yeah, I just really thought, you know, that's always that reminder to us. Every time we take communion, what are we also saying? Jesus is coming. I'm going to do this every time Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And that's, you got your faith in the past, hope is in the future, and then he tells you, this is my body. I am here now for you.
Well, exactly what you said. The thing we just kind of skip over a lot, this is my body, which is for you.
Exactly right.
It's for you. Yeah. It's not for me. It's not,
that's right.
This is my body, which I'm offering, which I gave in that. Okay,
now put that also in the context of the scenario where Paul was addressing. What was happening to the body of Christ in Corinth?
Turmoil.
Yeah.
Division.
Now I do this for you. What is he saying to the whole body? Hey, wait a minute. What have I done for you? Did I not bring you together in reconciliation with God? Then what's this junk doing here? If you're reconciled to God, why are you not reconciled to each other? You see the message? So every time you take communion, however you take it, you know, I'm still old school, I'm still passing the plate, whether you go forward or whatever you want to do. But there's always a reminder, when you take the bread and you're passing it on to the person next to you, what are you saying? We're all the same bread. We get the same life from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a relationship with each other. Or if you're up front and you take a chunk of the bread, you know, off the loaf, realizing that is the same loaf for everybody. It's the same shed blood, same body of Christ. You've got to see the relational element of it. Brad.
As I look at this, I've never seen this before, as we've been talking about it as a group, but I look at his remembrance, in remembrance of me, we need to remember that we're forgiven.
Yes.
And we need to remember we're not condemned. But when
yes.
Jesus says, until I come again, but we also need to remember or understand, like you said, that in the future, I'm being molded and shaped in the image of Christ, being prepared to be in heaven with him.
Right.
So I can remember in the times of despair when I start beating myself up, but I need to never let my joy go away because of that hope and knowing that Christ is preparing a place for me. I love that.
Oh,
that. Like,
excellent.
Just wraps it up.
Beautiful. There.
As we partake, we become one. I mean, the body of Christ, we put it in our mouth, it's new in us.
Yes.
And what Watchman Nee talks about, he says that the loaf
yes.
is a whole loaf.
Yes.
And as it's broken, take it. It's still part of that whole loaf.
Exactly.
So we take the body of Christ and become one.
Right.
And then Gary takes the body of Christ and becomes one. Gary and I are one.
You got it. Now, knowing that, and if you guys are at odds with each other, what are you really saying from the supper?
That I'm not really one with Christ.
Well, maybe not that extreme, but in other words, you're not living out who you really are. Because remember now, Ephesians 4:3 says, maintain the unity in the bond of peace. Okay? So the unity is already there. It's not that now we're unified because each of us have taken it. It's the reminder that we are already unified, but if we're not living it out,
we don't know who we are.
We don't know, and we're not living out who we really are in Christ Jesus. Ah, my time's up already. Good. Well, wait a minute. Okay, Jeff?
So we're supposed to properly discern before we enter into communion.
Okay, discern, okay? In other words, recognize, realize the body of Christ, okay? Now, I've showed you two things. The actual, who is Jesus, and who we are in relationship, okay? Go ahead.
Okay, but use a car metaphor.
Yes.
We all got junk in the trunk.
Right. Clean out that trunk.
So now we have this junk. What do we do with it?
Open the trunk, clean it out. In other words, what's confession for? If you got junk in the trunk, that means you're not living properly with a fellow Christian. Straighten it out. That's why you discern it. Was it Matthew 5:23, whatever it is? He says, if you really realize you don't have a good relationship with your brother, leave your gift at the altar, take care of business, straighten things out with your brother, then come up and offer your blessing to the Lord. That's what we should be doing. And the communion every time. The Lord's Supper has to remind us of these things. Don't leave the junk in the trunk. So here, I've known people before. They say, well, I can take communion because I've got some problems and issues, so I just won't take communion. Because I'd be eating and drinking, damnation. You know, I don't want to do that. But I don't take care of business. I don't take care of the broken relationship. So I just don't take communion. Then I'm okay. Give me a break.
If you've got too much junk in the trunk, then get a truck.
You put a tarp on it. Nobody can see inside of it. You are a troublemaker. You know that.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Go ahead, Abby.
Before you close, I know you.
Yeah, I'm pushing.
Yeah. You know, God wants us to have junk in our trunks, because the reason why is because that's how we grow. If we don't have any tribulations or trials, how are we going to grow to be better people?
Okay.
So He forgives us, right? So now we have to tackle out those problems and face them.
Well,
don't keep it in the closet, bring it out.
Right.
Face it, grow, and that way you can bless other people.
Right. Same thing, like, those. Don't leave the junk in the trunk. Deal with it. Don't keep putting more junk in there. Otherwise, that's right. And that will come. Go ahead, Don.
Well, God tells us to love one another.
And yes.
There's a problem between us.
That's right.
Straighten it out, like you said, right.
That's right. Got to straighten it out. That's right. And it's always interesting to me. I mean, how many times in Scripture, New Testament, you'll say, faith, hope, and love. You know, we read those three things. Think about it. Faith is in remembrance of Christ. You remember what He's done, and you believe it, and you take it. Hope looks to the future until He comes. Love is where you are right now. Those three, the greatest is now, okay, doesn't take away from what He's done, where He's going. He's saying, apply it to your life, okay? So that's where I got it. One last profound statement. Go ahead.
No pressure.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Most of the rich people, like God, they depend on the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
And the first one, love your God with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your heart. Thinking about that.
Yes.
When you go to Jesus, Jesus, when He said, remember me, go to the remember at the other part.
Right.
That. But the situation is, you know, you have to remember me, abide to me,
right.
And be holy,
right.
And be saved.
Right.
It's not so easy to say, after the communion or do this or do that, you have to abide to the body of Christ constantly.
And the beautiful thing is, remember now, that doesn't mean He's throwing more laws at us. It's reminding you that Jesus kept that law for you. He kept it for you. Remember that now. It's not about your goodness, it's about His grace. And every time we partake of the communion, we always remember, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Okay, that's the beauty of it.
That doesn't relieve us of the responsibility of living a transformed life.
Oh, no. No. But watch out when you do that, okay? I hear you. But don't make the what you got to do greater than what he's already done.
I can't live that life
right.
If he doesn't live through me first. Yes.
Amen. And always keep in mind, it's what is done is greater than what you are doing, okay? Always keep that in perspective. That doesn't relieve, you know, hey, we live out who you are. That's the important thing. Live out who you are. But boy, praise God for his grace. I gotta shut down right now. Are you guys gonna be walking out of here? Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you so much just for our time of sharing and growing. And Lord, you just keep us hungry for your word. Keep us just focusing on the fact of how marvelous your grace really is. And to understand, even when we take the communion, just to be reminded again, this is my body, which is broken for you. Lord, help us to see Jesus in all your fullness, in your greatness as our Heavenly Father, as our Father, our God, and yet fully as man. And that you, by your grace, lived the life that we were called to live, and yet by your grace, you now give us that life. And as you dwell in us, your desire is that we will be more and more conformed into your image. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for these special truths and times and experiences to help us to understand that more and more. Thank you for these men. Gracious God, continue to bless them to be blessings. We're going to keep on giving you the praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Awesome. Great, guys. Fill in the blanks of your study, okay? I'm sure you're going to do some great stuff here.